Well, good morning, you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us this first Christmas Advent series. We're calling A Weary World Rejoices. That's a tongue twister, right? A Weary World Rejoices. So if you guys could open your Bible to Matthew chapter 1 as we talk about Joseph today. And the title of the message is Righteousness and Peace. Righteousness and Peace. And if this title sounds familiar at all, this is from the lyrics of verse 1 of O Holy Night, right? Where it says, "A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices." Now, weariness takes on different forms. If you could take an inventory right now, where you're at this morning, and the season of life, and your life stage that you're at, and your family is at. Sometimes weariness takes on physical weariness, where you're physically exhausted. Maybe it's a lack of sleep, maybe it's overexertion with your body, maybe you've had long days or maybe long weekends, maybe you're tackling a weekend project, maybe you've done extra work, overtime hours at your job just to finish a project, and you're just physically just drained and weary. Another form of weariness is mental weariness. Maybe you spent some time from studying for a big exam and you spent days or weeks or months, maybe even years, maybe writing a book or writing a research paper, writing just your cognitive just effort that you've put in, and you're just mentally drained and you need a break. Maybe you're having emotional weariness, where you're dealing with the family drama of maybe stubborn or wayward kids. Maybe you're grieving the death of a loved one, or you're just grieving a difficult season of your life. Maybe it's infertility, a job loss, caring for elderly parents, maybe dealing with a family member with mental illness, where you are just emotionally just drained and you're running on fumes. Or it could be spiritual weariness, where there's spiritual warfare. Maybe you prayed and interceded and fasted, and you believed for healing, contended for healing, and you've gone through a season where you're just spiritually drained. Or it could be the other way, where maybe you're weary, not from overuse, but you're underused, where you're underutilizing your spiritual life and you're just kind of weary and you're just kind of drudging along. But the good news is this morning that no matter what kind of weariness you're going through this holiday season, you can rejoice at the advent or the arrival at the birth of Jesus Christ. That through his birth into this world, God himself taking on skin and bones and flesh, we can rejoice that God is our rest, that God is our peace. And in the midst of busyness of the season, there is a righteousness and peace that comes through Jesus. And so let's turn to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 1. We'll start in verse 18. And this is from the ESV version. Now, the birth of Jesus took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man or righteous man, unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. And when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that this holiday season, this first Sunday of December, O Lord God, you invite us through your word where you said, "Come to me, all you who are weary, all of you who are tired, all of you who are heavy laden." Some of us this morning, we're carrying heavy loads, O Lord Jesus. We're carrying anxieties and we're maybe carrying other people's problems and loads. And so, Lord, I just pray right now we will take on the easy yoke of grace, that we would unload our problems, our weariness, our exhaustion, our tiredness. Lord, some of us are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And Lord, we lay them down at the footstool of the cross. And we look up to a Savior, O Lord God, who loves us, a Savior who could identify with us in our suffering, in our weakness, in our hunger, in our pain, in our forsakenness and abandonment. Lord, you identify each step of the way. So Lord, I just pray right now as your word is being preached that you would prepare our hearts, Lord, to receive your word. Lord, I pray, God, that we'd be changed, that we would have this peace of righteousness, Lord, that comes from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yesterday afternoon, I took my oldest son, or excuse me, my middle son, Noah, to the Apple Store in Kahala. Now, his AirPods, one of the AirPods wasn't working and it was still within the 1-year warranty. And I said, "Hey, make an appointment." So we went up to the Apple Store. And as he went to the Apple Store, they said, "Hey, it's going to take about 15, 20 minutes. And I noticed my own phone was pretty low on battery. So I, you know, they have the display, the iPhone displays. So I put my phone there, let it charge. And I just used the iPhone that was on display. And I was just kind of scrolling through. And as I scrolled through, letting my phone charge, it has a suggestion at the bottom. It says, "Number one trending news in the U.S. today." And the trending news was, "Celebrity pastor's wife is filing for divorce from her husband due to marital infidelity." You know, it's one thing if politicians or Hollywood execs or actors, maybe rock stars and musicians or pop artists or rappers or athletes are outed for moral malfeasance, but it's completely wearisome when spiritual leaders, especially when pastors, fall. You know, earlier this week I had a Zoom meeting with some pastor friends of mine, and one of them reported, I was like, "Hey, did you hear about Pastor so-and-so?" I was like, "Man, these two pastors are, man, they're like kind of heroes of mine in the faith. They influenced me so much, and they fell." There's news this week that they fell, and you know, I just kind of weary of hearing this news, especially of men that fall. You know, like the world is weary of hearing news and stories and podcasts and accusations of celebrity heroes and hotshots falling. But the good news in Matthew chapter 1, there's still some good news, is that there is some good, godly, integrous, righteous, and just men who are kind of behind the scenes, often overlooked, kind of doing their thing faithfully in the background, like Joseph. In fact, if it wasn't for the righteous life of Joseph, the advent of the Messiah would not have come, because his role is very important. In Matthew chapter 1, it goes through the genealogy, and Matthew makes it very clear that it's through Mary, the mother of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and it says Joseph. And it wasn't through Joseph's seed, but it's through Joseph obeying the voice of the Lord, not publicly shaming or divorcing, but considering the outcome of what he would do, taking prudence, that he obeyed the Lord and took Mary as his wife, waited 9 months, then they were able to consummate their marriage. But when Jesus was born, legally during that time, the father has to name his son or daughter in order for the adoption or for that marriage and that child to be valid. And so it's through this kind of undercover, underrated godly men that brings out the weariness that's like, hey, we could rejoice that there is a godly man like Joseph whom God used. You know, Matthew chapter 1 in our text, verse 18, it starts off with this, the birth of Jesus Christ. Now in Greek, it literally is tou de Iesu Christou e genesis, which literally means the now Jesus Christ, the Genesis. Now, why is that important? It's important because it starts off with this definite article, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And that's how the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, translates Matthew 1:18, that Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, Jesus Christ might be a swear word in our culture, or it might be a misnomer that people actually think that Jesus Christ, that Christ is the last name of Jesus. But Christ, Ha Christos, right? It's the Christ. It is a messianic title, which means it is that Jesus is the anointed one, that he is the suffering servant, that he has been the promised son of man that's been promised since Genesis, that he was the one in Genesis chapter 3, you know, the seed of the woman that shall crush the head of the serpent, the proto-evangelion, the first promised, the Christ, the Messiah. And it says, de Genesis, and Genesis, I just translated birth in English here, but the Genesis here is the Genesis, meaning that it is the origin or the story of the Messiah, of the Christ, of the Anointed One. And whereas Luke starts off with Mary, the mother of Jesus, Matthew starts off the infancy narrative with the point of view of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And here's the main point for us with regarding the peace of righteousness, is that obedience to God will bring the peace of God. Obedience to God will bring the peace of God. It starts off with that Joseph was a righteous man, or it says a just man. The Greek word there is dikaio, meaning that he was a righteous man. The root word of that, it's like the dikaiosune, meaning the righteousness. To be a righteous man, to be a righteous man, the NIV says it translates it, this word righteousness or righteous, as faithful to the law. That Joseph was faithful to the law. And being faithful to the law does not mean that you're self-righteous, that you nitpick, and because you know the law, you see how other people miss the mark in following the law. Being faithful to the law means that you are being shaped by the mercy and the grace of God. In other words, God's laws are not meant to increase your knowledge or pride or self-righteousness, but God's laws are meant to increase your love. And Joseph, the main point is this, that obedience to God will bring the peace of God. That Joseph was a righteous man. He was a good man. In the words of Salt and Pepper, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. Now, during back then, a betrothal, what we kind of think of as an engagement, was a binding legal contract, and you needed a divorce to break it. And it says, you know, it doesn't say Joseph, her fiance, but it says Joseph, her husband. And the Old Testament punishment for unchastity before marriage was death. You were to be brought out and be stoned to death. Or by this time, divorce had become accepted, and a private divorce before witness was a humane option. But Joseph, you know, he was a good man. He knew what the law was, even though the law could have required public stoning or death, even though the law could have required public shame and humiliation. You know, 1 Peter says that love covers a multitude of sins. Joseph, he was a righteous man. And he's like, you know what? He thought about it. He considered it. And he didn't publicly disgrace her. And he covered her and he protected her. And it says he resolved. He said in his mind, you know what? I still love her. Even though she might have been pregnant, I don't know what's going on, but I'll just do it quietly. I'm not going to put it on Instagram. I'm not going to blast her in social media. I'm not going to let my friends know and air out my dirty laundry or what she's done and how she's hurt me and betrayed me. I'll resolve to keep it quiet so that she could kind of keep her dignity and also for her future child. And I love that Joseph had prudence. It says that after he had thought about this, he didn't react, but he responded. He had this biblical virtue called prudence, which is taking your time. He considered it, what to really do. He didn't have a knee-jerk reaction, but he did not shame her publicly. He did not immediately react and scheme how to get vengeance for Mary's perceived unfaithfulness, but he considered. You know, James says, be slow to speak, slow to anger, but be quick to hear. And because of that, because Joseph was a righteous man, God spoke to him in a dream. You know, I think oftentimes we use biblical knowledge as a weapon to wound people, but not as a mantle for mercy. If it weren't for the grace of God, I would be in the same situation. See, God's word, you guys, is not meant to increase pride, but it's meant to increase our love. And Joseph here, he had this prudence. He had mercy. He was faithful to the Lord. He was faithful. And this is the weary world who's tired of hearing bad news about bad guys. Right? That Joseph, he is a genuine dude, and he obeyed God. And because he obeyed God, he had the peace of God. And here's the second thing that I want to get to this morning. It says, the peace of righteousness is that you will never regret doing the right thing. Let me say that again. You will never, ever regret doing the right thing. And Joseph, he did the right thing. You know, Martin Luther King Jr. says that it's never a wrong time to do the right thing. Joseph was at peace. It says when in verse 24, when he woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife. He knew. He was at peace knowing that there will always be rumors that his wife was unfaithful. He would never regret doing the right thing, even though people would perpetuate that their child, the untruth that their child is, could be born out of wedlock. And so from Joseph 2,000 years ago to you and to me, there will come a moment in your life, like in my life, where God will put a wrench, that God will throw a curveball, where God would detour your plans. Joseph had plans, much like you and I have plans. Joseph had ambitions. You know, he was probably thinking of their future together. He's trying to think of putting the wedding together and the dowry that they got. And he was trying to plan, but God threw a wrench at it. It's just like, oh man, what do I do now? There will come a moment in your life when God would disrupt your rhythm, disrupt your life. And you and I must make a decision to be a person, a man or a woman of integrity, of being righteous before God, of doing the right thing. Because the peace of righteousness is this, that you will never regret doing the right thing before God. There'll be many times, every time when you did the wrong thing, you're like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, I shouldn't have thought that. Oh, I shouldn't have jumped to conclusions. Oh, I shouldn't have done that. But when you do what is right, when you pause, when you have prudence, when you take time to consider, when you cover and love people, love covers a multitude of sins, when you don't want to publicly shame people and put them out, like a God would give you his peace. And this is the peace of righteousness, that there is peace of doing what is right. You will, you know, if you tell the truth, you will never have to worry about lies that you have to keep up and lies that you've said and to try to cover up. And you never have to backtrack and recount because you tell the truth and you will never regret doing right. Just like in my life, you know, like it was 2 years ago, Thanksgiving, where my mom broke her toes, her foot got ran over, and my dad called and said, hey, could you come for the week or for a couple days and help me lift your mom up and take her to the bathroom and walk her around the house and carry her. And I was like, sure. You know, I had my life. I had my Thanksgiving ahead of me. You know, I had my Christmas plans. And then I stayed for a week and we tried to make it work. And I had to go back to Hawaii. So I flew to LA. And on my way back, my parents are like, well, what are we going to do? There's nobody that could watch us. And we tried to get in-home nurse care and going through the vetting process. And we made a decision that I will not regret, that like, mom, dad, why don't you stay with us? And so I moved my parents. We helped them clean out their house. Like in a period of 3 months, I flew to LA back and forth 6 times. I had my life ahead of me, but God threw a wrench. God threw a curveball. God put a detour and a stop to what my plans were, right? The proverb says, a man makes his plans, but it's the Lord who directs his steps. And I was able to kind of jumpstart caring for my parents and giving them health care. And was able to diagnose, you know, my mom's medical condition. But listen, you guys, I have no regrets that I was able to honor my parents, that I just didn't like quick to judge. I'm like, no, I got my own family. You already had your time. It's like, no, honor your father and mother that it will go well with you. And there'll be times where you will be inconvenienced. There will be times when God interrupts your life. There will be a problem. There'll be a circumstance, there'll be a health crisis, there'll be a financial crisis that's going to come along in your way, and your plans are kind of screwed up. But you will never regret doing the right thing, and there will be a peace that will come upon you like a river when you do right. There is a peace that comes upon us when we live right and when we do right, that we will never regret, like come what may. It doesn't matter what other people say, but when you're right before God and you follow him, and if you love Jesus and you obey him, you will never regret it, right? That obedience to God will bring the peace of God. Amen? Let me go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, for this Advent. Lord, in our weariness, we could rejoice. Oh, Lord God, that sometimes we feel like Elijah, like we're like the only ones left. But Lord, you've raised an army of prophets, Lord, people of God of 3,000 that are still standing for you and have not bent the knee. And so, Lord, I just pray right now, Lord Jesus, for strength for your people. I pray, O Lord God, that we would pursue you, Lord, that there would be no regrets, Lord, in doing what is right before you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would give your people strength. Give us grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us for online church. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give you his peace. Go with God, and God will go with you. Love you guys. Have an amazing week.